This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the People Speak Radio Show. Again, this is your host, Charles Giuliani. We've got a special Halloween treat for you this evening. We've got Sarah Karloff, who is the daughter of the legendary horror film star, Boris Karloff. He's got quite an interesting resume here. In fact, I got a whole list of things here, but I think I'll let Sarah go over that herself. Very impressive. The one that stands out for me most strikingly, of course, is his role as Frankenstein in the old classic series of movies beginning in the 1930s. And in the subsuing decades, he starred in many other films in that along that line. But, boy, I remember as a kid, watching those films, I got to tell you, they scared the living daylights out of me. I had many nightmares because of your dad.
Good.
Yeah. But looking back, they were fond memories. It was the kind of fun scariness, you know. It just sends shivers down your spine. But that's what you want at Halloween time anyway. I remember they would show those every year at Halloween time especially. And then, of course, we're also joined, someone else who's with her tonight, Johnny Crawford, who played the son in The Rifleman, Chuck Connors. That's something that I have vague recollections of. I remember as a kid, I think my brother used to watch it quite a bit. I remember it being on, but I can't remember actually. I probably sat down and watched it, but I don't. That's going quite a bit of ways back for me, so I don't have I have vague recollections of it, but I do remember that was a classic classic series. Anyway, welcome both of you. Glad to have you on.
Thank you. We only have one phone in the room, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
Well, so hopefully I'll put John on whenever you're ready.
Oh, yeah, we can switch back and forth. Well, let's first talk about what else your father has done here. He's played quite a bit. In fact, I'm looking through the list here. Something else I was particularly a big fan of is Mr. Grinch. I guess he was
yes, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. That's a wonderful, wonderful program.
Now, did he play was he the voice of Grinch himself, or was he
the
narrator?
He was the narrator of the program, and he also was the voice of the Grinch, and he won a Grammy for it.
Oh, wow. Now, was he the one that did, "You're a mean one, Mr.
No,
Grinch"?
No, that's actually Tony the Tiger.
Oh, son of a gun. I should have known. Sure, that sounds just like him. Oh,
yeah.
Wow. What do you know? But he was the narrator and the voice
and
of
the voice
Mr. Grinch.
Oh,
jeez.
Yeah.
I must have watched that 1,001 times growing up. That's a classic now.
It is indeed.
Wow. So, yeah, I mean, he's played some major, major roles here. Let's see. I'm going through the list. He appeared in a Halloween episode of the TV series Route 66. Let's see. He was in The Body Snatcher, 1945. I mean, these are big, big.
He was the original Mummy. He made over 170 films. He was on Broadway in Arsenic and Old Lace and in The Lark opposite Julie Harris, for which he was nominated for a Tony. He was in Peter Pan. He did a huge body of radio work. He did 20-some-odd children's albums, Rudyard Kipling, Hans Christian Andersen. So he had a really broad-based career. He was very fortunate.
King of the Wild, The Hope Diamond Mystery. It just goes on and on here. The Masked Rider. Going back, that's a 1919 film.
That's
it wasn't
right.
Even
he
sound.
Did a lot of silent films. Actually, Frankenstein was his 81st film, and hardly anyone saw the first 80.
Wow, and a lot of these were silent films that he did.
Yes, yes.
So he saw quite a transformation in his day, going from that to, later on doing TV and colored films.
Yes, he did. Yeah. He embraced the new medium of television in about 1949, and he had three television series of his own.
Son of a gun. That's really impressive. You don't really see that today, you know, people doing that many films, that many shows. That's quite an accomplishment.
Well, he loved his profession. I think the thing he was probably the most proud of, however, was his participation in the formation of the Screen Actors Guild in 1933, and his card number was number 9.
Wow. Yeah, that's decades worth. I don't think there's anybody listening right now that doesn't have fond memories of Mr. Grinch. I mean, I think all of us listening are from that generation pretty much, you know, and that still runs today.
Yes, it does, every Christmas.
Sure.
Every Christmas. And last week, actually, Frankenstein, The Bride of Frankenstein, was shown in over 1,000 theaters on the 24th of October. Fathom Events and Turner Classic Movies sponsored the showing of a double feature bill in theaters around the country on the big screen, and it was very well received, and it was a new experience for a whole new generation seeing those films on the big screen.
Sure, and again, it's one of those timeless classics, even though it's black and white. I think that adds actually to the aura of it, you know, the horror of it. You wouldn't want to see a film like that. You wouldn't want it colorized. It has to be.
Nobody wants it colorized.
No, it wouldn't have the same effect. I think the scariest part of that thing was the scene where the hand comes out of the box, it's crawling, and it comes to life. Oh, that just scared the daylights out of me.
Well, I had the opportunity after viewing the films last week and on the big screen of meeting some people out in the lobby of the theater, and I had the opportunity to meet a woman who brought her 92-year-old mother to the theater, and then another woman who brought her 7-year-old daughter to the theater. And that's what it's all about, the multi-generational appeal of these films.
Yeah, absolutely timeless.
They are indeed.
They're good for all ages. There's really no limitation to the applicable age group. Anyway,
John and I just finished doing a big show in Parsippany, New Jersey called Chiller Theater, where about 14,000 people attend every year over the Halloween weekend. And it's amazing to both of us how well attended this show is, and the variety of attendees and the variety of guests that are drawn and invited to this show. This is the 18th year I've attended it, and it's just a wonderful event for all of us to be invited to, and all the guests who attend it.
Now, lots more to talk about with your dad and his career and your career. So you have done quite a bit of acting yourself, huh?
No, I've done no acting whatsoever. You can trust me on that. But my purpose is to protect and perpetuate the legacy my father left.
So you run the website, Karloff.
I run the website, and I make appearances throughout the year, and I do only 2 shows a year where I have an opportunity to meet my father's fans and try to answer questions that my father's fans wish they'd had an opportunity to ask him.
Wow, that's very interesting. And folks, if you're taking notes, karloff.com, that's spelled KARLOFF.com. You can go there and see. You've got numerous clips, and you can read up on her dad's amazing accomplishments. I was going through the list. I'm like, wow, I had no idea that he was involved in so many things. In fact, I just learned something talking to you. I can't believe that the one who sang that song for the Grinch was Tony the Tiger. It never dawned on me. But as soon as you said it, it clicked. I'm like, oh, yeah, of course. Who else could that have been? Nobody else had a voice like that. Wow.
If you want to know anything about music, you need to ask Johnny Crawford, because he's an accomplished musician. And although his early career was as was on The Rifleman. His career has been throughout the years as an accomplished musician and orchestra conductor. So why don't I turn the phone over to him for a while?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, just a sec.
Hello, Charles.
Yeah, Mr. Crawford, glad to have you on.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just saying that I remember seeing the advertisements for The Rifleman, and I remember the show being on. My brother would watch it. I was a little too young to really remember it, though. For some reason, I don't recall them rerunning them later on.
Actually, it's never been off the air. It's been very successful in syndication over the years. And now more than ever, because it's featured every day on MeTV. They show two episodes at dinner time every weekday and Saturday, and it's also seen on RTV every weekday at noon. They show two episodes.
It was a Western thing, wasn't it? Like a cowboy.
Yeah, it's a Western show.
Yeah.
It was very unique in its day because it was the first series about a widower and his son, and it was the father-son relationship that made it so successful.
Excellent. I've got some questions that are going to be coming in, too, so from time to time we'll probably have to have you switch back and forth, you guys. Some of the questions will be geared to you, some toward Sarah.
But one
of the things I wanted to ask you guys about, I guess, you were here for the storm yesterday, and I guess you had some experiences you guys wanted to share, some of the stuff that I guess you guys got hit a lot worse than we did up here in New England.
Yeah, well, we were in Parsippany. And I was staying at the Sheraton Parsippany Hotel, a wonderful, beautiful structure, and looks like a medieval castle. And so everything started out just fine, but the storm came along, and they lost their power, and we couldn't make phone calls, and it was dark. And so we finally moved, and we're staying at a hotel in Secaucus right now.
So you guys basically got stranded there in the
hotel?
Yeah,
we were stranded there, and we were lucky to find a room in Secaucus because, you know, so many people are relocating and trying to find shelter.
Wow. So
pretty dramatic. And you know, we could see it coming, and looking out the window at the trees, and then it woke us up in the middle of the night when it really reached its peak.
Talk about a horror show!
Yeah, it was perfect for the
weekend. Now, are you both from California?
Yeah, as far as I know, you're from California. Yeah, we're both from California.
So you guys have probably never experienced anything quite like this. You're used to earthquakes, but not hurricanes, huh?
Yeah, and stampedes, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we don't get them too often. I think I've seen two others that I can remember back in the 80s, I think it was. There's been a couple others that, you know, but by the time they got up here, you know.
They were worn out.
Yeah, you couldn't call them hurricanes anymore.
I guess it's historical. It's got lasting power. It's no longer a hurricane now, but it's still dumping lots of water and snow everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got. It's funny. We never got any snow. They were talking about snow, but it actually seemed to have warmed the temperature up here. In fact, I was hiking today with a friend until it started raining, but earlier today it was actually, I swear, it had to be about 75 degrees. You could feel the heat of the sun beating on you, and the only thing I can think of is it must have dragged up some tropical air with it. It's just unusually warm.
Interesting. Well, the hurricane, I think, was warm air, and then it was meeting the cold front from the West, from the Northwest, and that's what really stirred it up. Supposedly.
Yeah, it's
I'm not
very bizarre. They were talking about, you know, a perfect storm. It was going to collide with this nor'easter, and they said it had going to have the potential to produce, major disastrous consequences, snow amongst other things. But no, we actually didn't see any of that up here. We had a few heavy gusts that did pull some trees out. But other than that, it wasn't at all the big spectacular extravaganza they were making, at least not up here. But I guess, yeah, you guys did get the brunt of it. That's
so do you play music on your show?
On this show?
Yeah, because I have a new album out, and it's doing very well on Amazon. It's got 5 stars, and it's very unique. I've always loved the dance band records that were made during the 1920s and 30s that people aren't familiar with now. And I've collected the orchestrations throughout the years since I was a teenager. And I put them in front of musicians, and we play for many events in Los Angeles. We just did the Hollywood Film Festival Awards a week ago yesterday at the Beverly Hilton in Los Angeles, and we do the Art Directors Guild Awards each year.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's my passion, really. I love acting, and I still do some acting. I did a play last summer, but the music is really unusual, and it's uplifting, and it's great medicine. And so I'm trying to spread that.
Well, do you have a guitar handy? Did you want to play something?
I don't think the acoustics would be quite right, but I certainly could send you a CD, and you could listen to it, and we could talk about it again.
Sure. Sounds great. Now, that's pretty much been the bulk of your career, right? More of a musician than an actor. You kind of do acting on the side.
Well, I do both. I enjoy the music because I'm in control, but I love doing a good play. I don't pursue television very much because I'm very busy with the music, but I enjoy doing theater because I get a chance to do really good plays, and television is not.
So you probably had offers, but you had to turn them down just because of your schedule being so busy.
That happens occasionally, but I couldn't turn down the play that I did last summer. It was The Foreigner, which is a wonderful comedy that was written by a playwright in the 1980s who was killed in an airplane crash. Unfortunately, he wrote that, and he wrote The Nerd, and they're both very popular in theater. And I always wanted to do the Foreigner, and got a chance to this past summer in Dallas. So yeah, I love doing theater.
Excellent. I dabble a little bit in the guitar. I played the mandolin. I love music.
Good for you.
I like all kinds of different music, but my favorite thing to do, sometimes I'll sit and listen to some of my favorite artists, but my favorite thing is to make my own music. I love it. I used to have a 4-track recorder. I don't like the electronic versions. I like the old fashioned ones. You'd put them on your lap. You had the 4-track, the regular cassette tape. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, no, it was a regular cassette. You don't even make those anymore. The small little cassettes.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, I guess you call it reel to reel. Yeah. Not the old, big round things that you just those square, whatever they were, rectangular shaped cassettes. Yeah, they don't even make those anymore.
Are you a fan of Django Reinhardt?
Truthfully, I'm not familiar. No.
Django Reinhardt is a traditional guitarist who died in 1953, and he was a French gypsy. And his recordings are classics. He had great tone and speed, and mostly his acoustics recordings. His acoustic recordings from his band was called the Hot Club of Paris, And
oh, I might have seen him on PBS, I think. He was very fast, wasn't he? He could run through a scale like lightning. Yeah, I think I do recall that. Phenomenal.
Uh-huh.
Phenomenal stuff. I wish I could play like that.
Oh, no.
I'm
going to put you back on the phone.
You want to put Sarah back on, did you say?
Yeah, I want to put her back on the phone so that you can talk to her about some things.
Okay, great.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We might have you back on in a minute here, a minute or two with some questions. Yeah, welcome back, Sarah. Very interesting. We're getting quite a variety here. Originally, I guess you were just going to be the guest, but we're getting an extra treat tonight because you guys both got stranded in the unexpectedly because of the hurricane, got stranded in the same hotel there.
That's right.
So we're getting a double treat here. Maybe you guys, maybe you've already got something planned. If not, maybe you guys should plan to do some work together. You could make a tribute film to your dad, and he could do some horror music for the background.
You never know.
Yeah,
you never know what comes out of being stranded.
So you do a lot of speaking engagements, I take it, promoting your father's work? Or?
Well, I do around this time of year. My father always said Halloween was his busy season, so it's turned out to be mine, too.
Do you do any, marketing?
I've done a lot of documentaries, and I've been fortunate to be asked to do some, yes.
So you... helped with production, or have you actually narrated some of them?
No, I've talked on some of them, and so one thing I got to do was on something on Anna, the King of Siam. Just open it, John. Just open it. Open it. Yeah, open it, or they'll go away. Say hello.
Hello.
I learned we lost him. In a documentary on Anna, the King of Siam. Well, when my godmother wrote a biography on my father, and we discovered that Anna Leoens, Anna of the King of Siam, was my great great aunt. And so, when the documentary was being done for A&E on Anna Leoens, I got to read some of the king's letters, and that was fun.
Oh, wow. Well, that's really great.
Things like that.
So I imagine you must be well known in Hollywood circles, obviously.
No, my father is.
So people don't know you by sight?
Some people do, but not very many. I keep a pretty low profile, except
low
for Hollywood.
Profile. Oh, okay. Yeah. Actually, I wanted to ask you about the Chiller annual mega horror event each year that takes place down there in New Jersey at Chiller Theater. Is that, in fact, why you're there right now?
Yes, that's why both of us were here this weekend. Kevin
okay, now why was Johnny there? Was he actually going to play some music down there?
No, or? He was here. He was here from the Rifleman.
Oh, okay.
Because
but, I mean,
it's
is
a
that,
wide
but this
variety
is,
of guests that Kevin Clement has for Chiller Theater.
So it doesn't have to be horror-oriented.
And he did a few science fiction films also. And so
he was here
in that capacity.
Yeah, I gotcha. Wow. So I didn't realize, so this is something they do every year around Halloween time?
Yes, and then they also have one in April. I've never been to the one in April, but... it's a big event. I think it's the biggest show of the genre in the country.
So the theater, it's actually called Chiller Theater?
Yes, it's called Chiller Theater, but it's really an exposition.
Wow. So
yeah,
who else was down there? A lot of big names or?
Well, a lot of people were here. I can't tell you who all was here. Lee Majors and Joan Collins and Linda Blair and I'm drawing a blank. There were just hundreds of guests.
Now Lee Majors, what would draw him? Though I guess science fiction, right? That kind of.
Well, it's more than just science fiction. And you'd be amazed at some of the films some of these people have done in their careers.
Huh.
Last year or the year before, they had Mickey Rooney, and they've had...
he'd be the last person I'd associate with.
Richard Dreyfuss, and they've had Barbara Eden from I Dream of Jeannie, and they've had all sorts of people.
Now, did Mickey Rooney, did he actually ever play in any chillers?
No, I don't think so. They just have all sorts of interesting guests.
Wow, sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to attend one of those myself sometime.
And thousands of fans.
Yeah, I never
even
heard of this.
It's an autograph show. It's a film expo. It's a model show. It's a collector's show. It's just an amazing show.
Wow.
Yeah, people come from all over the world.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I like I said, I never even heard of it. I'll have to look into it. I was a big fan of
Theater Spelled the British Way.
Yeah. I was a big fan of the $6 Million Man show back in the 70s there,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, the major starred in.
Well, there's something for everybody at Chiller Theater.
Yeah. So it didn't get canceled, though, huh? Or did it?
No, it did not get canceled. No, it started on Friday evening and ran through Sunday. And
it was at
the Parsippany Sheraton Hotel, and that's where it'll be in April and again next October.
Oh, okay, so the storm wouldn't have affected it then because that came yesterday.
Well, that's right. I mean, it came last night, but it was starting on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, but that's good that it didn't affect that.
No.
Anyway, I guess we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we got some questions that are coming in here via text.
Okay.
That I'll be asking. I think they're both addressed to you, but if we get any more for Johnny, we can get him back on here.
Okay.
And certainly if there's anything more he wanted to share, you know, we can get him back on the phone.
Okay.
But anyways,
that's great.
Sure. Short break, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Stellar Flutes is a family-owned and operated business dedicated to producing beautiful, finely handcrafted Native American-style flutes in a variety of sustainable woods. Stellar Flutes are used by both beginner and professional musicians with glowing praise. Easy to play and invoking a calm, meditative feeling, they make a perfect gift for you or someone special. For more information, including videos on selecting and playing the flute, please visit stellarflutes.com or call toll-free 1-888-427-8850.
Come, you masters of war.
Hello, this is Cindy Sheehan. America's war on terror has become a war of terror, with endless drone bombings, continuing military occupation, as well as detention, rendition, and torture still being practiced under the current administration. I lost my precious son Casey to war, and now work towards a day when not one more mother, son, or daughter will suffer such a loss. Listen to my podcast, read my blog, and come join me at any activities I attend near you. Please visit CindySheehanSoapbox.com for more information, and let's work for peace together. Build, destroy.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And like millions of other responsible Americans, I smoke pot. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana, and it's none of the government's business. Let's get the government out of our private lives once and for all and stop arresting smokers. Let's take a stand for personal freedom. To learn how you can help, go to normal.org.
Got questions? The library's got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. Once again, this is your host, Charles Giuliani, on the People Speak radio show. Our guests this evening are Johnny Crawford. He played the son of the son on the Rifleman TV show, Chuck Connors. We're also joined by Sarah Karloff. She's the daughter of the legendary actor horror film actor Boris Karloff, who's most famous for his role as Frankenstein in the original 1930s and 40s film series. He's also the voice of the Grinch, and he's played in a lot of other, leading roles in a lot of other major films and, movies and TV shows over the years. He's got quite a resume. If you missed the first half of the show, you can go back in the archives later, or you can just simply go to Sarah's website that she has set up, which will show you all of his, his movies that he's been in, his shows. It's simply go to Karloff.com. That's spelled Karloff.com. During the break, we were talking, and I didn't realize how severe the storm has been down there, but Sarah was telling me that planes are still grounded and that she's hoping that she'll be able to get out of there and get back home by Saturday, which, of course, is another 4 days away. I didn't realize, that things were so bad down there. Wow.
Well, I've had 4 flights canceled so far.
Oh, boy.
I was due to leave on Monday.
Yeah, like you were saying, this is something totally new. You hadn't experienced it before.
No, I live in Palm Springs. We don't have hurricanes.
Right, right. And, this is pretty rare. I mean, we don't get them that often, and when we do, they're usually not so bad. Up here in New England.
Some of the headlines were calling this the Frankenstorm.
Yeah, Frankenstorm, right, right. And for you, it was. I'm really sorry to hear that. I suppose if you were up in Boston, things wouldn't be much better either. It's always near the coast that...
No, we're thinking about trying to drive west and get out of another airport, but I'm not sure that'd make it any better. It might. We're thinking about that.
We have some questions coming in here. Did you want to take some questions, or... All right, let's see. We've got the first one here. Mike in California asks, what kind of man was Boris Karloff? Was he a strict father? Did he have hobbies? Did he have a good sense of humor? Yeah, that's a good question. You always want to know, what was Frankenstein really like off the screen? What was his favorite food? If you could give us just an overall synopsis.
Well, my dad was a lovely man. He couldn't have been more different than the roles he played. He had a lovely sense of humor. He was British. He was very well educated, very articulate, very soft spoken. He was passionate about the British game of cricket.
Oh, wow.
He was a voracious reader. He loved gardening. He loved animals.
He must have been interesting to talk to. Usually people that read a lot have a lot to say.
Well, he was a good listener as well as very intelligent and a good conversationalist, but he was a very good listener. He never brought his work home. He never talked. He seldom talked about his work. And he was just a lovely, lovely man. He was a very good father. He loved working with children. One of his favorite roles was in Peter Pan, when all the youngsters from the audience used to come backstage and loved to try on his hook from his role in Peter Pan as Captain Hook. One of his favorite dishes when he was in California, when he came out from New York or came back from England, which was his homeland, was to order sand dabs. Let's see, what else can I tell you?
Sand dabs?
He was a typical English gentleman, and his real name was William Henry Pratt.
Oh, wow. Now, what was his favorite dish again?
Sand dabs.
What's that?
It's a very delicate white fish.
Oh, really? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
No, he must have obviously had a British accent, right? He was from Britain?
Yes, he had a British accent and a lisp.
Oh, wow. Watching Frankenstein, you wouldn't get that impression that
well,
the actor would have.
Well, in Frankenstein, he didn't speak.
Right, he didn't speak, yeah, yeah. Wow. And he obviously was as tall as he looked in the movie, right? There was no...
No, he was 5'11", and the plaster boots only elevated him 2 inches. so the camera angles were all shot upwards to make him look even taller.
Oh, okay. Wow. They did a good job at that because, yeah, he looks unusually tall, you know, larger.
Well, they shortened the sleeves of his suit, suit jacket, to make his arms look even longer.
Huh.
And it was all camera angle because he wasn't that tall.
I've never seen him I'm sure I did in some of the movies, but I didn't know it was him, but never seen him, you know, without his makeup on.
He was a very good-looking man out of
I'll
makeup.
Have to Google. Yeah, I'll have to Google later and look him up. When did he pass? How long ago did he...
In 1969 at age
81. Oh, wow. So he lived a good long life.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Anyway, let's go to, I think we answered all the questions from Mike here. Was he a strict father? Did he have hobbies? You said he liked to read.
Yes.
That's one of my passions as well. In fact, it's become an obsession. I lose a lot of sleep for that. I like to stay up late when it's quiet and I don't get disturbed, but unfortunately, it's not good. I don't get enough sleep at night. I got to stop doing that. It's obsessive, yeah. But anyway, Mary in Washington, she asks, I guess this is for Johnny. Did you want to give the phone back to
sure,
Johnny?
Sure, John. Just a second.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, we got a question for you here from Mary in Washington. She asks, did Johnny find himself in trouble financially or emotionally after the Rifleman, like so many other child actors, or was he able to cope with being a child star? That's, as I'm sure you know, a common problem in Hollywood. You're a big star one minute, and then they lay you off. And, was that a problem for you, or were you able to transition into your music career smoothly?
Well, it's difficult. It wasn't smooth. And there were long periods of time without employment. And
sure.
I made some mistakes with my investments, and so I had to work a little harder. I spent some time actually working for Roadway, loading and unloading trucks at the docks downtown Los Angeles, but I enjoyed the experience like I enjoyed the 2 years I spent in the Army doing something real. And I was hoping that it would add to my character, and I think it did.
Oh, I'm sure.
So life is not easy for anybody. Even if you have lots of money, there's always challenges.
Challenges, sure, sure.
So,
did you actually serve in combat, or were you just stationed?
No, they didn't send me overseas. It was during Vietnam, but they put me to work as a production assistant in training films. We made films of how to use how to operate different weapons and tools that the Army provided the soldiers. And on several occasions, they had me work as an actor in a film. It was a very interesting job, and I did that for 2 years at 17 different Army bases throughout the continental United States. I went through basic in Fort Bliss, and
that's good that you didn't get sent over there. That was quite a quagmire.
Yes, it was. I was lucky.
Yeah, very fortunate. That was not a very good... of course, you know, we've had similar problems in other generations, but that thing, it just went on for so, so long and cost so, so many lives. And not just the ones that died, you know. As I'm sure you know, many of the ones that survived went through their own hell in some cases worse than if they had died.
It was quite a nightmare. Tragic, but yeah. It wasn't as long as the Afghan War.
Yeah. Actually, that's true. Yeah, that's
more deaths. However,
well, more deaths. Yeah, but sure, the Afghan War has lasted. Mm-hmm. quite a bit longer, as a matter of fact. Anyway, I guess the next two questions are back to Sarah again, but okay. Thanks, Johnny. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Hi.
Okay. Welcome back, Sarah. We got a couple more questions for you. This one is from Bud in New York. He says, I'm only a few miles from you guys. Hope you're well. And he's wondering, did your dad win? This is a good question. And I hope the answer is yes. I don't see how he couldn't have. But did he win any Oscars or get any awards for his career work?
He won a Grammy for How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and he was nominated for a Tony for his performance opposite Julie Harrison, the Lark, but he did not win the Tony that year. He was never nominated, nor did he ever win an Oscar.
No kidding. Now, were they giving those awards back in the 30s and 40s?
No, the Oscar is about, it's about 80 years old, but they didn't have it in 31.
So, yeah, he just missed it. Otherwise,
they didn't have it in 28. John tells me 28, but no, he was never nominated for one.
Well, you should get after him and tell him to posthumously award him for his Frankenstein work. I mean, that's they're classics. Some of the best work.
Well, it is a classic, but they have a limitation on when they can do it posthumously.
That's too bad.
Well, thank you.
Well, he earned it anyway.
Well,
but at least
you.
He got recognition for his Grinch.
Well, the fans keep his legacy alive, and that's very nice for his legacy and also for his family.
Sure, sure. And, of course, you're helping to do that as well, so that's great.
Well, the fans are responsible for that.
Yeah. Well, you know, the work you got going with the website and whatnot, that's great, keeping this, keeping it alive, keeping it going. We have another question here. April in Arizona, she says, does Sarah ever think that the horror and monster films of today rely on too much exploitative violence and blood and gore? That's a good question. Unlike her father's portrayal in Frankenstein. There does seem to be a profound difference in today's horror films, wouldn't you say?
Well, I don't like scary movies in the first place, so I don't go to see today's gory films. But from what I hear, they're certainly too explicit for my tastes, and
yeah.
I think they certainly would have been from my father's taste. He preferred the word terror to the word horror, and he felt that the suspense of black and white was preferable, and to invite the audience to participate with their own imagination was certainly more to his taste.
Yeah, you can get people on the edge of their seats and get their hair raised up without having to resort to such hideous, just outright, violence and bloodshed, and the shock value was so high that...
Been immunized. And unfortunately, I think the young now feel they're beyond destruction, and that's too bad.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
None of us is.
Sure, sure. And it desensitizes them, demoralizes them in a lot of ways.
I agree. There's no need to sell tickets.
And, you know,
unfortunately.
Another tragedy is... writers in Hollywood don't seem to have the talent that they did back then. You know, when you know how to write well and produce a film well and act well, you don't need all that gore. You're going to accomplish it. And like you said, it'll encourage your brain to think and fill in any gaps. And, you know, you can do it yourself working together with the film. But today it's all packaged for you. It's all done to the point where, you come out of the thing, at first horrified, shocked, but in the long term, you get this desensitization back where nothing shocks you anymore because the gore is so obnoxious. It loses the shock value after a while. And, this seems to be a common thing. When you witness something in real life, it doesn't shock you like it should. You know, people seem to, this happens in New York. My ex-brother-in-law lived there. He told me how people would walk by. They would actually witness a mugging And they would just walk by like it was, you know, business as usual. They were so used to seeing it on TV, the violence on TV and in the movies. It didn't bother them. They didn't feel the urge to intervene or even to call for help.
I know. My father made a wonderful film toward the end of his life called Targets that involved a young sniper. And it was removed from the theaters very soon after it appeared because it was made during the time that Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King were assassinated. But it's as appropriate today as it was when it was made in the 60s. And my father, it reflected really my father's feelings and certainly mine that the horror is really on the streets and not up on the screen.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's true. Things have really changed, and not for the better. We can only hope that at some point we can turn around and go back to the way they were, because they were much better years ago than they are today. That's true.
And I would encourage people to see the film. It's called Targets, and it's really a very fine film. It was done by Peter Bogdanovich's first film.
Excellent. And again, folks, go to Sarah's website, karloff.com. Again, that's karloff.com. Was there anything you or Johnny, anything else that you wanted to plug before we close?
Well, I'd just like to wish everybody happy Halloween, and thank you very much for having me on your show, and I'll pass the phone over to John now.
Okay, thank you. It's been great having you on. Appreciate it.
Charles.
Yeah, Johnny, wanted to thank you for coming on. We're going to be winding down here in just a moment. But, yeah, thanks for taking the time out. Appreciate you guys doing this. And I was telling Sarah, you guys ought to hook up. She could, get some commemorative film, horror film about her dad's work, and maybe you could do the music in the background. I think you guys would work
you
well
never
together.
Know.
Yeah. There was a reason for you getting stuck in that hotel.
Yeah. Well, It's been quite an experience, and I enjoyed the conversation.
Okay, good luck to you guys. I hope you can get out of there and get back home soon.
Yeah, listen, if you're interested in getting my CD, I'm on Facebook, and you can reach it by going to CrawfordMusic.com.
Okay, great. I'll do that. Thanks a lot.
And yes, and tell your listeners also to join my fan page on Facebook.
Excellent. Okay, folks, you can go look him up and join his fan club there. Okay, thanks again, Johnny.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care. All right, folks, that's it for this week. Join us next week. We're going to be having Medea Benjamin on as a guest, author of Drone Warfare. Very interesting book, something that's been going on, of course, in Afghanistan. He's going to be speaking about, going to be speaking about her trip to Pakistan and talking about her book and some of the things going on over there. It's not pretty, but it's something we need to be aware of because our tax dollars are paying for this. This is being done in our name. Anyway, that's it for this week. Have a great week. And, again, do check out Sarah's website, and you can go sign up and join Johnny's fan club on Facebook. Okay, folks, take care, and we'll see you next week.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the steeple, by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.